into a melee battle with the bugbears.
Richter nodded. He understood that she was making a profound understatement. As fierce as the sprites could be, they were still only 3 to 4 feet tall on average, built more for speed than strength. The bugbears that had attacked the village had all been at least 6 feet tall. Richter shuddered to think what would happen to any sprite that got within weapons reach of the goblinoid creatures. Hisako paused for a moment, and a look of sorrow crossed her face. When she spoke again, there was steel in her voice.
Despite our losses, we will prevail. I can tell you now that we have discovered where their base resides. They are building a fortification in the wooded foothills of the Firetip Mountains.
I'm sorry for your falling, my lady, but at least we now know where our enemy is located. She nodded wearily.
The information came at a high cost. Of the 4 sprites sent to find the base, only 1 returned.
Hisako shook herself and spoke with steel again.
These matters are serious, but are still secondary to the more grave threat of the Eaters. There are still mysteries about their unexpected appearance that I have not unraveled. I do not know why they have come decades before they should. I do not know why they are not currently overrunning the forest. I have learned one thing, however. Through a powerful divination, I was able to determine that their nest is deep underground. Through less elegant methods, we have discovered that the kobolds have been fighting them.
Less elegant? Richter asked. Yoshi cleared his throat and then grinned wolfishly when he had the Chaos Seed's attention. Enough said, Richter answered his own question.
Yes,
Hisako said, not squeamish at all about torture.
The information, unfortunately, has not availed us.
Why not?
As loathsome as kobolds can be, there is no doubting their cunning. While a few of my warriors might cross unseen into their underground warrens, the preponderance of traps and twisting tunnels make a large assault almost impossible. Every entrance that we know of is so heavily defended that we cannot enter in force. According to the kobolds that we have captured, they are taking the swarm seriously, which is the only good news. The clans have even stopped their perpetual warfare to battle the Eaters. The lizards we interrogated revealed that there have been heavy losses on both sides. This might be why we have not seen the Eaters on the surface, which would be a boon.
Hisako's resolve broke, and a bitter frustration made its way into her voice.
None of this information means anything if we cannot make our way down into the depths. We have to destroy the Queen.
As they had walked, Richter had led them to the catacombs, and now they stood over the Great Seal. He looked pointedly at the stairway leading downward. With a broad grin on his face, he exclaimed, "You know, it's funny you should say that." Chapter 45, Day 139, Kuborn 29, 15,368 EBG. Yoshi, Hisako, and Richter went into one of the side rooms that had served as the scholar's old workspace. Both of the scribes had now moved into the House of Scholarship. The room wasn't completely empty, however. It had taken weeks, but now Richter was the proud owner of a knowledge table. One of the forest sprites coming to the village had told Richter about a stand of Yoden wood he had come across. It was 15 miles from the village, but when B had heard about the rare trees, he had immediately insisted that they be harvested. Richter had taken a large group to retrieve several trees and took care to harvest a few of the saplings that were present as well. They had had to carry the trees themselves until they reached the mists, but then Richter had been able to summon mist workers to take over the burden. The trip had taken most of the day, but Richter had fulfilled his quest. Congratulations! You have completed a quest, Raw Materials. You have found a wood capable of holding a large amount of sustained magical charge. Reward, a knowledge table. Reward, 625 experience. The experience Richter had gained was not much, but B had started working with carpenters the very next day. The green wood emitted a faint heat even when cut, and it required at least a carpenter of apprentice rank or higher to work the wood effectively. Luckily, there was one wood elf with a skill level of 34 in carpentry. B and the carpenter worked together for more than a week, but it was finally done. Richter now had a knowledge table, and all of the documents, maps, and other data that could be uploaded had been. He also negotiated to have B create another knowledge tablet at a substantial discount. The scholar agreed for the sake of future positive relations. Richter placed his hand on the activation crystal to bring the green wood table to life. What had been a well-sanded wooden top became a glowing white panel. He placed his hand on the side of the tile and willed his map to appear. As the scholars had said, it was not a fully linked version of his traveler's map, and the information was only as up-to-date as the last time it had been uploaded by B. It was still an incredible tool, though. The first thing Richter did was to bring up a map of the forest. Then he zoomed out to be able to see the wood in its entirety. He needed to know where the bugbear encampment was. For a moment, Richter bemoaned the fact that the mapping ring he had given to Sion did not work as effectively for anyone that wasn't his companion. When his friend had placed the ring on, it had not only shown whatever the sprite was currently looking at, it also showed everywhere the sprite had been in his entire life. As was always the case with the traveler's map, areas Sion had been to more recently were brighter, and locations the sprite hadn't been to in quite a while were only in grayscale. Nonetheless, it had greatly increased the cartography info on Richter's mental map. He had tried to get other people to wear the ring since, but it had only added what that person was currently seeing to the map. The one other person that it had worked for in the same way was Tarad. Sections of black on the map were replaced to reflect the captain's travels. Specifically, Tarad had increased Richter's knowledge of the terrain in the Kingdom of Eve and in the capital city of Law to a great extent. That did not, unfortunately, help much with the topography of the forest. Asking Alora to wear the ring was out of question because of her small size. Still, Hisako was quickly able to point out where the main encampment was. Richter mentally annotated his own map with as many details as she could provide. He would have B update the table later that night. After that was done, he zoomed back to the village and showed Hisako and Yoshi the next level of the catacombs. The two sprites started intently poring over the map, moving it themselves as they examined this tunnel and that. Yoshi even complimented Richter on the level of detail. After some time had passed, Richter grew bored with watching him. Hisako and Yoshi seemed to have mostly forgotten his presence and were speaking quickly to each other in what seemed to be a sprite-speak shorthand. Yoshi had also pulled a large number of maps from his bag that looked to be sketches of other sections of depths leading down from other entrances. It was no surprise to Richter that he had them. He knew from his own experience that weak charm could get enemies to spill their guts. He didn't even want to think about how strong of a charm spell Hisako could wield. His own spell would break if he attacked his target. The Hearth Mother could probably make a man eat his own flesh. He shuddered slightly when he thought about the horrible possibilities and hoped he never met an evil life master. Richter left the sprites to their plotting. He had other things to do, after all. Before he made it to the door, Yoshi called over his shoulder.
"We will do some sparring after dinner tonight. I hope you have been practicing your sword forms. I have been collecting stout sticks over the past few weeks to aid in your training."
Richter grunted. The aid Yoshi had offered in the past was using a hard stick to spar with him. While that might initially seem like a better choice than a sword, it allowed Yoshi to break the sticks on various parts of Richter's anatomy, something the half-sprite took a sick pleasure in. Still, Richter was no punk. "I appreciate your training offer, Adept Yoshi. I will see you after dinner." Richter got back to his daily routine. It was time to help the builders. The next building that was being erected was one that was near and dear to everyone's heart, a tavern. In line with that goal, Richter made one stop before he went to help the crews. He had been checking on the copper still daily, and he had so far been able to distill over 20 bottles of moonshine. When he had first examined them, several prompts had appeared. "Congratulations, you have learned the subskill distillation. This is a subskill of brewing. Various combinations of plants, herbs, and fruits can create spirits of various strengths and properties. As you have learned this subskill, you have also learned the skill brewing. Congratulations, you have learned the skill brewing. Beer is living proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy. You can now take the mundane, such as a boring potato, and make something truly wondrous. Beer! You have created Harsh Moonshine. Durability, 7 of 7. Strength, blackout. Sensation, rough. Weight, 1.5 kilograms. +1 to constitution. -2 to agility. -1 to dexterity. +15% to lyrical composition. When Richter had first tasted the drink, he was forced to agree with the description on the prompt. It went down hard, and he couldn't be sure, but he was fairly certain his eyes crossed for just a moment. For some reason, that thought made him think of one of his exes in Texas, but he couldn't figure out why. Over the past several days, though, Richter had come to appreciate his vicious brew. He uncapped one of the bottles and took a swig. The liquid burned his throat, but then gave him a nice, warm feeling inside. Recapping the bottle, he put it in one of the cauldron's storage cubbies. Aside from being a recipe for fun, the moonshine was also part of a project for the Chaos Seed. When the first batch had been completed, Richter had numbered each bottle. His intention was to test the cauldron's property of increasing the traits of potions that were left to age. So every day he took a swig to gauge the progress of his experiment. His hope was that one day it would taste better than ass. It wasn't clear if the potions actually had to be left in the glass building or not, or even if the moonshine would be considered a potion. But who didn't want to do experiments like Mr. Wizard? Chapter 46, Day 140, Qaborn 30, 15,368 EBG. The following morning disrupted his routine. It would have been more accurate to say that it derailed it completely, and that the dawn brought not only sunlight, but also a sense of fear and wonder that swept through the village. During the night, people had disappeared. No children were taken, but mothers, fathers, and elders were absent from their beds. Concern and terror swept through the village quickly. Richter had stayed up late and had finally fallen asleep under the quickening, so he was one of the last to know. The training with Yoshi had been predictably painful and humiliating, so he had sought comfort afterwards under the celestial tree. He, Alora, and Hisako had spoken for hours before sleep claimed him. He was awoken by a guardswoman shouting his name. Alma flew up into the air from her perch on his lap, and Richter scrambled to his feet. She quickly informed him that villagers were missing and how panic was spreading through the settlement. Richter ran towards the hill leading down to the village, regretting that he hadn't slept in his armor. By the time he got to the slope, Sion was running up to meet him. The expression on the sprite's face was inscrutable. "What? What is it?" Richter asked, with major stress in his voice. He looked out over the village, the top of the hill providing an excellent vantage point. The sun was up and was peeking over the trees, and Richter didn't see any immediate threat of attack. The guards still patrolled the village walls, and a confusing mist defensive spell was still in place. Sion still hadn't spoken yet, but the corner of his mouth was tilting up. "What the hell, man? What's happening?" Sion looked at him and raised a placating hand. "First, everything is okay. I have already had Tirad start calming people down. I know exactly what is happening. Before I tell you any more, though, I need to know something." He looked at the piece of paper in his hand before sounding out a word. "What is a cock gobbler?" The word sounded strange in Sion's melodic voice, but the meaning was still clear enough. Richter snatched the piece of paper from his friend and started reading. As the villagers began to calm down, his blood pressure began to rise.
"Dear Richter, now that your friends, the sprites, are here, I see no reason not to start the trials for any of your people who are eligible. I'm sure you'll be upset about this. After all, cock gobblers never like to share."
It was all Richter could do not to tear the paper into small pieces. The tone of the letter became increasingly insulting and patronizing as he read. It was signed at the bottom,
"Besties for Life, Nexus."
What the fuck had he done to deserve a being like Nexus? Richter wailed silently. Sion just stood there with a smarmy look on his face. Richter glared at him and then said, "Come on, shithead." Richter started walking down towards the village, but Sion cleared his throat and arched an eyebrow. Richter rolled his eyes. "Fine. If you must know, a cock gobbler, or CG for short, is..." Once everyone still in the village had been accounted for, Richter found out that Nexus had apparently taken people at various times throughout the night. The fact that no one else had seen it happen meant that the asshole auditor had taken people when they were alone or when anyone else nearby must have been sleeping. Richter was seriously irritated and railed to anyone who would listen that it was just like the douchey cosmic being to pull people into their trials in a manner that would maximize chaos in the village. It took an hour to finally calm everyone down, and the final count was that 27 people were missing. It probably would not have caused such a stir in a village of a population greater than 600 in other circumstances, but as everyone stayed together in large longhouses, the panic had spread quickly. Despite his irritation with Nexus's methods, Richter secretly admitted to himself that he was excited to see exactly what professions his people came back with. He had been wondering about the fact that no one had gone for a trial after the last infusion of experience from the Pixie's birth. He was slightly less excited when he found out exactly who had been taken. Roswan, Krom, Quasia, Zar, Sumiko, Yulindi, Shiovanna, Glorin, the entire non-human Elder Council, and several others. Productivity in the village effectively ground to a halt. Unsurprisingly, people were even more upset when Richter halted construction on the tavern. He wouldn't risk its quality being lower than what Roswan could create, though. Thankfully, Randolphus still remained behind, and he quickly organized the villagers to compensate for the loss of so many village leaders. Richter actually started thinking that freeing up his afternoons might be a good thing for a week, but as he was preparing his war party to leave for the daily hunt, Alora flew up to him with a small, dark pixie boy in tow. At this point, the Chaos Seed was well familiar with the expression on the pixie child's face. Either the boy's Maidon was coming close to the village, or he was doing a mid-air pee-pee dance. Richter was fairly certain that there was a sprite somewhere out in the mists. The young pixie took up position in Richter's hood, and the Chaos Seed took his customary place at the head of the war party. Surprisingly, the pixie's directions led the war party to the east. Every other sprite that had been brought through the mists had come from the south or west. This hadn't been a surprise, as the mist village sat on the northern boundary of the forest of Nadria, and sprites were forest creatures. To the north were the serrated mountains, and to the east lay the Azergoth swamp. Miles of forest still lay to the east of the village, but nowhere near as much as the unbroken leagues of trees to the south and west. Despite the strangeness of a sprite approaching from the east, Richter still followed the pixie's directions. The war party traveled quickly. Weeks of hunting had generated hundreds of more war points. Richter's next purchase was a no-brainer. He paid 150 points and bought Lead by Example 1. In battle, Sion would scout, Calder would fill the role of tank, and if Sumiko did indeed come with them to raid through the dark portal, she would obviously be the healer. Otherwise, Krom would fill the role. With his latest purchase, Richter could now double in any of those roles. He had been right. He had become more badass. Richter also bought a second rank of the badge Movement Speed. War parties that he led now traveled 20% faster through forests. The way was made even easier with Sion scouting ahead and Alma flying overwatch. The Shale Adder continued to slide along beside its master. Richter had cast the spell Tame about twice a day for the past several weeks. The blood magic casting ensured loyalty of the subject creature for 40 hours, but Richter still used the spell as soon as the 12-hour cooldown expired. The long cooldown meant that he had only progressed to level 2 in blood magic, but still it was progress. His frequent use of Tame proved wise as the spell periodically failed to take root in the adder. Each time he re-established control over the large snake, there was a thrum in his blood that was unmistakable. 8 times over the past several weeks, though, he had felt nothing. If he had waited until the spell was about to elapse to cast Tame in any of those instances, Richter would have found himself in battle with an enraged 20-foot-long predator. The war party continued to move forward. After an hour, they found their first prey. The pixie child wanted them to press forward, of course, but when Sion came back stating he had found a herd of Gynor elk, Richter called a halt. The sprite moved quietly, silent, and almost unseen in his green armor. Hisako had enjoyed a laugh at the story before she resized the sprite armor with her magic. Sion was less than amused as Richter recounted the experience. Sion hadn't even needed to relate any details of what he had seen thanks to the mapping ring and the fact that he was the war party's official scout. Sion had already tagged the enemies, so they appeared as red dots on the Chaos Seed's internal map and red markers showing their position in everyone else's vision when they were close enough. Richter quickly showed everyone on the physical traveler's map where the herd was and then had them all wait. Calder immediately started giving hushed orders to make a basic defensive perimeter while Richter and Sion did more scouting. As had become protocol, the physical map was left with one of the other party members so they could see the distribution of enemies while he and Sion tagged any monsters the sprite had missed on his first pass. Richter shooed the pixie child out of his hood and left him with one of the life magi in the party. He warned the tiny flyer to stay away from the fighting in the strictest terms. The boy pouted and kicked his foot in midair, but he obeyed his liege. It was an interesting trait he had noticed about the small celestial beings. The pixies could be as mischievous as a child in a candy store, but at the end of the day, they followed Richter and Alora's instructions to the letter. The two companions moved forward, circling around the spot where Sion had seen the creatures. Richter had pulled the hood on his cloak of concealment up and activated stealth. Alma flew above, her dark body a natural camouflage against the thick canopy above. The shale adder slid along beside Richter, silent and unseen. 10 minutes later, Richter got his first sight of the animals. In his mind, when he'd heard Sion say Gynor elk, he had imagined something that looked like Bambi's uncle. When he finally saw the beasts, he realized not so much. The creatures were structurally similar to normal elk, meaning that they stood on four legs and their heads were shaped like a deer's. Their horns, however, were 3 feet long and were multi-pronged. Each tip ended in a wickedly sharp point. The Gynor elk were covered in short brown hair that was almost black. Light green stripes of fur crisscrossed their bodies. Each was 6 feet tall at the shoulder, and large muscles stood out under their skin. As Richter moved closer, he saw that their hooves were wedged. The tips were hard and sharp enough to leave gouges in the flesh of the bear the beasts were feeding upon. Red blood covered their muzzles as they reached their heads down and tore pieces of flesh and fur off of the bear. They snapped at one another when one got too close to another's feeding spot. Richter could see that their mouths were filled with sharp teeth, and each had two large fangs in place of incisors. These were not peaceful herbivores. He was looking at deadly pack hunters. There were 5 in all, and from the well-masticated state of the bear's carcass, they were almost done with their meal. Richter knew he couldn't let these things escape. He had a quick mental conversation with Alma, who then flew quick as an arrow back towards Calder. Her ability to have limited communication with others made coordination in the war party much easier. Reaching into his bag, he withdrew his bow and waited. A few minutes later, the dragonling quietly alighted on a nearby tree branch.
They are coming, Master. I will be ready when the rest of the war party gets close.
Thank you, love, Richter thought back. A grim smile crossed his face. The elk were about to have a bad time. Since his familiar had been hunting on her own, she had leveled 3 times over the past weeks. She had then distributed her own points in a way that Richter completely supported. The first thing she had done was purchase the first rank of Psi Channeling. Psi Channeling was the newest addition to her abilities and offered extremely interesting possibilities. One of the biggest problems with his spells was that he had to be almost within striking distance to use them. If Alma could swoop past an opponent while unleashing a spell, though, it drastically increased his range. The greatly increased mana cost made the skill prohibitive, though. Your familiar has chosen to increase her ability Psi Channeling to level 2. At level 2, the range of Psi Channeling has increased from 100 to 200 yards. Using the ability now requires 250% greater mana usage rather than 300%. Any other spell requirements will remain unchanged. You and your familiar may now also share mana at a loss of 3 to 1. The increase in distance and decrease in mana usage was pretty much what he expected. The ability to share mana was a welcome bonus, though. When he had gotten the prompt, he had realized that he didn't even know how quickly her mana regenerated. Unfortunately, her status page didn't show her individual stats like his did. Richter had reviewed his life and air spells. He had decided to test her regen rate. Richter had told her to cast Summon Weak Life Wisp. The 60-point mana cost had made the math easy. She had cast the spell, and he had watched her regen closely. It took 101 seconds for it to refill. He stopped a moment to do a quick calculation and figured out that her mana was refilling at a rate of around 6 points every 10 seconds. It was faster than his own regen rate. She hadn't stopped there, though. Her Psi Blast was finally level 3. It had improved upon her mental attack, and a new feature had been added. Richter had been thrilled when he had read the prompt. Your familiar has chosen to increase her ability, Psi Blast, to level 3. The mental disruption and health damage are now more powerful. The 5-to-7-second stun effect is increased to 8-to-10 seconds, and the health damage will be more severe. A third effect is now added. There is a possibility of disorientation for those affected that will last up to 5 minutes at the standard AoE of 10 feet. The AoE of this attack can now be widened to 20 feet at the expense of the blast's strength, or narrowed to 3 feet with an increase in the blast's effectiveness. Effective range of Psi Blast is now doubled compared to baseline. Cooldown decreased to 3.5 minutes. With the beasts clustered together, Alma should be able to focus her psychic beam to its strongest effect. She flew up into the trees and waited to strike. The other party members made their way through the forest as quietly as possible, save the support team whose sole purpose was to protect B. Richter had been able to earn each scholar 1 level in the past 2 weeks by channeling 20% of the war party's experience to the non-combatants. Even though they were trying to be quiet, most of the war party lacked woodcraft or stealth skills. Before they got within 30 yards of the elk, the pack lifted their heads in the direction of the advancing fighters, and Richter could see them tense. Whether they then planned to attack or retreat, he would never know, because that was what Alma had been waiting for. In that split second of the elk's indecision, the dragonling dove from above and unleashed her Psi Blast. The psychic beam caught all 5 elk broadside, the energy passing easily through the flesh of one to strike the others. The beasts fell to the ground, legs kicking spasmodically. Blood leaked from their nostrils, and one bit through its own tongue as its body locked in Rictus. Richter would never know how effective Alma's level 3 Psi Blast might have been if he had upgraded it earlier, but with her being a level 29 creature, it packed a serious punch. Richter dropped his bow as none of the elk had escaped and drew both swords. Alma landed on her master's shoulders, and her body was enveloped by a golden glow. His familiar cast Soul Trap again and again as Richter's sword rose and fell. He wasn't trying for fatal blows. Instead, he targeted the animal's leg muscles, ensuring that the elk would not rise, even if they could fight off the effects of the Psi Blast. Sion was right beside him, doing the same. The sprite had been through this process daily and knew what was required. Alma hopped down from Richter's shoulders with a feral shriek and started draining them. Her level 7 brain drain dropped their health, stamina, and mana at a prodigious rate, and Richter helped by delivering coup de grace. The last 3 elk awoke before they could be put down and started squealing as they tried to escape the butchery Richter and his familiar were delivering, but they could do little more than thrash about on the ground. Even that ceased when Alma latched on, her special psychic attack overcoming their conscious will. In less than 3 minutes, it was done. His familiar shot into the air with a cry of triumph, drunk on the psychic energy she had absorbed from the predatory animals. Richter smiled at her, enjoying the savagery of his familiar, while the last swirl of rainbow light disappeared into his bag. 5 more souls were now his to use as fuel for his enchantments. They were not the only prompts he received. You have been awarded 2,716 experience from Brain Drain against level 11 Gynor Elk. You have been awarded 1,468 experience from Brain Drain against Level 8 Gynor Elk. You have been awarded 1,937 experience from Brain Drain against Level 9 Gynor Elk. You have been awarded 919 experience from Brain Drain against Level 7 Gynor Elk. You have been awarded 1,135 experience from Brain Drain against Level 8 Gynor Elk. For slaying 5 Gynor Elk, you have been awarded 20 war points. Total war points, 112.
Richter had a very good idea about how to spend his new war points. He would attend to that later, though.
Now there was a sprite to save. He looked around and saw that the war party had done as instructed. When Alma had flown to communicate with Calder, she had transmitted a single word, support. The sergeant knew that meant Richter and Sion would handle the kills, and the role of the war party was to protect them with a loose perimeter while they worked. The war party, including the auxiliary team, had fanned out in a circle around his position. The melee fighters held shields, and each was paired with a Maedon sprite archer. The non-combatant was also always placed inside of the perimeter. The purpose of the other fighters wasn't to aid Richter, but instead to ensure that other predators didn't attack, drawn by the sounds of death and combat. 3 times over the past several weeks, monsters and dangerous beasts had been drawn by the death cries of Richter's kills. This time, there was no issue, however. Richter cut a piece of the elk free and threw the bloody chunk to his adder. The snake snapped the morsel up. He had been making an effort to spend time with and feed the snake. Initially, he had asked if the twins were crazy. What he actually said was, "Why the hell would I play with a 20-foot snake?" He decided to trust them, though. Richter wasn't sure if the twins' advice actually held any merit, but he had been able to quickly raise his beast bonding skill to level 5, so he kept at it. Then he and Alma summoned mist workers to carry the bodies of the Gynor elk as well as the bear's remains. In this world, the practice was waste not. Even if the meat were tainted, the skin might still be of some use. The gray figures trotted off to the west carrying the kills. It was always a possibility that another monster or beast might attack the mist workers, but it hadn't happened yet. When the only other options were to leave the carcasses or make the mist workers travel with the war party, sending them back unattended really was the best choice. The war party continued on. More predators crossed their path, but none were worth chasing down, so the fighters continued, led by Richter and the pixie child. After a few hours, they were only a mile from the edge of the mists, and Richter was starting to wonder if the pixie child might have been wrong. Then, red dots began to appear on his mini-map. Richter called a halt. 5 minutes later, Sion dropped down from a tree branch directly in front of Richter. A look of utter disgust and anger was on the sprite's face. He didn't so much speak as spit a single word. Goblins! Chapter 47, Day 140, Qaborn 30, 15,368 EBG.
They're in the mist, and they're hunting someone. I don't know how they can see in the mist, but they can. I heard one of them speak in the common tongue. They have wounded a sprite, and now they are hunting him. We do not have time for more scouting. We have to go now,
Sion said urgently. Richter's eyes flicked upward as he looked at his minimap. Sion had already spotted over 25 enemies in the mists. Who knew how many more there might be? Most of the goblins were still in a knot, and the others Sion had spotted had not ranged far from the main group. That meant he could be missing any number of enemy scouts or advanced teams. Even another group of 5 enemies could be enough to turn the tide of battle. Taking out beasts was one thing, but taking on an armed band was another. It was true the mists should protect their approach, but if Sion was right, the goblins had already found a way to defeat the village's enchantment. Richter regretted not bringing Futin along with the war party. The remnant could have gone ahead invisibly and confirmed what Sion saw. It wasn't standard practice for Richter to take the orb with him on hunts. Futon was just too useful in the village, seeing as how he was the only other being besides Alma that could summon the Mistworkers. Richter had also decided that his war party needed to know how to make do without the remnant, in case they had to venture beyond the mists. It was that same reasoning that had motivated him to have Tirad lead his own war party, rather than make Richter's own warband larger. It all meant that his force was comprised of himself, Sion, the 10 members of his war party, the 5 members of the auxiliary group, B, and the pixie child. Facing a force that was possibly twice as large was not something he looked forward to. Looking at Sion's face, though, he knew there wasn't really a choice here. The one thing he was glad of was that he had put his foot down on demanding that the Maedong pixies stay behind during raids. It had caused arguments with the Maedong sprites, but seeing as how they had all sworn fealty, it hadn't been a long discussion. Thankful for small favors, he started giving orders. Now was the time for action. He pointed to 3 of the guards in the auxiliary squad. His orders came out clipped, and there was no question of argument. You 3 stay with the scholar. Retreat 1/2 mile back towards the village. Stay in hiding unless you hear from one of us. The other 2 guards from the squad were life magi, and he told them to support Calder's strike force. He summoned 2 Mistworkers. If you are attacked or hear sounds of battle getting closer, sacrifice these workers and double time it back to the village. Take the pixie with you. He looked at the small creature. You are to follow the commands of the guards to the letter. If they are attacked, you fly as fast as you can straight back to the Quickening and Queen Alora. I know you are worried for your Maitu Maedong, and I will retrieve him, but you will do as I command. B nodded, understanding the gravity of the situation. The pixie's face showed fear, and Richter felt bad about speaking so harshly to the child. It served its purpose, though. The boy flew off and hovered by the scholar. The 3 guards clapped their fists to their hearts. One asked, "Call signs, my lord?" Richter had started instituting basic call and refrains as verbal passcodes among the guards. The possibility of infiltration was extremely low in their location, but it was never too early to start instilling good practices. The words he chose were always in English, making it nearly impossible for anyone in the land to be able to guess the response. He nodded and replied, "The call is ghost. The response is busters." They repeated the words and moved off. Richter allowed himself a faint smile. No reason not to have a little fun before a battle. His shoulders actually relaxed a bit. He looked at Sion and the rest of his party. "We are going in. To be clear, our goal is to save the wounded sprite, not to destroy the enemy. I don't know how they have defeated the enchantment, but it makes them dangerous. The sprites and I will move forward to observe the enemy. We have a fair chance of going undetected. If anyone can make a silent kill of a single goblin, do it. Otherwise, don't take the chance. Melee fighters, come behind us." Richter addressed the sprites specifically. "We will begin the battle by firing a volley of unimbued arrows. Don't forget that the glow from the imbued arrows will draw attention. If the goblins run off, fire another volley to keep them moving, but do not pursue. If they rush us, fade back, let the melee fighters engage and start picking them off one by one. Now this is where the enemy is." Richter showed everyone on the traveler's map. "We can't be sure that they're still there. We only know that we need to save that sprite. Everyone, stay still a moment so we can prepare. Then we move." Richter, Alma, and the other mages cast what buffs they could. The Chaos Seed also dual cast Summon Weak Sapling. A few seconds later, a green disc appeared in the air and a boar made of leaves and branches ran through it. It stamped and huffed while it waited for its master's commands. Richter checked its stats and was pleased that his summoning ring had let him call a level 12 creature. The war leader made sure everyone had consumed a potion of clarity and had at least 1 health potion, then handed out 1 more item to everyone. The entire party chewed the tough meat he gave them. "You have ingested rock giant jerky. +3 to strength and +2 to constitution for 53 minutes. Richter swallowed some water to choke down the salted meat. He still wasn't sure if he felt more bothered or vindicated as he ate his mortal enemy's flesh, but it was a mixture of the 2. He knew that now was not the time to think about it, though. With a firm hand chop, his party moved forward. Alma flew ahead to the spot where the goblins had been seen. Because of her ability to share images with him, he was able to update the map by what she observed. More red dots appeared. He gritted his teeth. It was going to be a bitch of a fight. A few of the goblins that Alma could see were scouts, but many were larger and seemed to be outfitted as fighters. One in the center of the pack was clothed in robes and had bones piercing his face. Richter grunted. A caster. He gathered all of the sprites around him and in hushed tones told them to target the mage first. Soon, he heard the cackling sounds of goblin speak. Richter moved silently through the trees and got his first actual view of the enemy band. There were about 30 in all. He used Analyze. Name, Eok. Race, Goblin. Station, Scout. Disposition, Distaste. Goblins can have subclasses that determine their specific powers. Most are a common variant, however, that are broken into different stations reflective of their physical and magical characteristics. Prolific breeders and woefully aggressive, goblins are a plague on other races. The scout station is reserved for the smallest of the goblin race. They are often used as battle fodder and advanced scouts. Not overly bright, they are still vicious and cunning. Only a foolish fighter underestimates them because of their small size. That very characteristic allows them to get close without being detected and swarm enemies with overwhelming numbers. Goblin scouts receive 3 points to distribute per level, and each level gives +1 to agility and +1 to dexterity. Level 5. Health, 160. Mana, 80. Stamina, 130. Strength, 7. Agility, 17. Dexterity, 16. Constitution, 16. Endurance, 13. Intelligence, 8. Wisdom, 8. Charisma, 8. Luck, 10. Name, Yogrin. Race, Goblin. Station, Fighter. Disposition, Distaste. Goblins can have subclasses that determine their specific powers. Most are a common variant, however, that are broken into different stations reflective of their physical and magical characteristics. Prolific breeders and woefully aggressive, goblins are a plague on other races. The Fighter Station serves as the foot soldiers for goblin armies. They often lead small bands of scouts. Cruel and capricious, many children have been cautioned by their mothers to behave, or goblin fighters will take them away. Goblin fighters receive 3 points to distribute per level, and each level gives +1 to strength and +1 to dexterity. Level 9. Health, 220. Mana, 90. Stamina, 170. Strength, 21. Agility, 14. Dexterity, 19. Constitution, 22. Endurance, 17. Intelligence, 9. Wisdom, 7. Charisma, 8. Luck, 10. Name, Tonic. Race, Goblin. Station, Grinder. Disposition, Distaste. Goblins can have subclasses that determine their specific powers. Most are a common variant, however, that are broken into different stations reflective of their physical and magical characteristics. Prolific breeders and woefully aggressive, goblins are a plague on other races. The Goblin Grinder receives better training than many other stations, and unlike most goblins, have an innate intelligence equal to most humans. No less aggressive, these foes are not to be taken lightly. If they advance far enough, these goblins can obtain professions. Goblins Grinders receive 4 points to distribute per level, and each level gives +1 to Constitution. Profession, Warrior. Level, 22. Health, 510. Mana, 150. Stamina, 340. Strength, 28. Agility, 21. Dexterity, 25. Constitution, 51. Endurance, 34. Intelligence, 15. Wisdom, 13. Charisma, 12. Luck, 12. Name, Sanak. Race, Goblin. Station, Ricker. Disposition, Distaste. Goblins can have subclasses that determine their specific powers. Most are a common variant, however, that are broken into different stations reflective of their physical and magical characteristics. Prolific breeders and woefully aggressive, goblins are a plague on other races. Goblins of the Ricker Station are normally gifted in magical arts. Rickers often serve as administrators and counselors for goblin leaders. Many offspring of various races have been sacrificed for their experiments. Goblins Rickers receive 3 points to distribute per level, and each level gives +1 to intelligence and +1 to wisdom. Profession, mage. Specialty, witch doctor. Level, 35. health, 634, mana, 378 of 827, stamina, 226, strength, 18, agility, 16, dexterity, 15, constitution, 48, endurance, 21, intelligence, 62, wisdom, 64, charisma, 15, luck, 15. Richter's eyes widened as he began to fully appreciate the force arrayed against them. By his count, there were 18 scouts, 11 fighters, 2 grinders who were also professed warriors, and the Ricker. And what the fuck was a witch doctor? More importantly, Sion was right. It was obvious that the goblins could see. Richter watched the group for a moment, trying to figure it out. Then he saw something. Sion nudged him to start the attack, but Richter waved his companion down. He knew time was of the essence, but he needed to know what was going on. The Chaos Seed watched intently, but didn't see the blur again. Richter didn't give up. After another minute, his patience was rewarded. He still didn't understand, but he was sure he had seen a spirit circling the enemy party. The goblins were all within 50 yards of the Ricker and were arrayed in a loose circle around the mage. As the mage moved forward, the entire group moved forward with him, allowing the scouts and fighters to continue searching for their quarry. The grinders stood close to the Ricker, and each held stout shields. Now that he had seen the spirit, Richter understood why the goblins stayed relatively close to the caster. Somehow, the witch doctor was negating the effects of the mist. If the Ricker's mana was any indication, doing so was a large magical drain, but it didn't change the fact that the witch doctor was still getting the job done. Richter shook his head. This was a vastly more powerful force than he had been expecting. Even just the mage and the warriors might be enough to overcome his people. Why were they in his domain? The goblins weren't dumb beasts. Even though the mage could negate the mists for a small time, the enemy party had to know they were performing a dangerous undertaking. Why would 3 professionals risk coming into a hostile domain just to hunt one sprite? It didn't make any sense. Richter was trying to decide what to do when he heard the excited babble of goblins speak, followed by a boom and a flash of blue. They had found the sprite. Richter had been planning to wait until the goblin mage's mana ran out, but time was up. The goblin band howled and began to move towards the tree the sprite had been hiding in. There was no more time to wait. Richter didn't know what was so important that would bring an enemy specialist into his domain, but he planned to disappoint the asshole. One positive thing came from the wounded sprite's discovery. It pulled the goblins' attention. The scouts and fighters surged north, leaving their southern flank unprotected, which just happened to be where Richter and the sprites were hiding. The Chaos Seed sent a mental order and then told the sprites to attack. A second later, 6 bowstrings snapped against green sprite bracers. The sprite arrows had been reinforced with the tips of the Asingai spider's legs, increasing the base damage of each by +2. The glowing blue missiles traveled hundreds of miles an hour and struck home. Faster than should have been possible, the goblin professionals began to react. Both warriors started to raise their shields, and a swirling energy sprung into existence around the witch doctor. One of the arrows struck heavily into the warrior's shield, doing no damage. The energy around the caster solidified in a split second into another spirit. The ghost imposed itself between the caster and the projectiles. Its insubstantial body caught flame, and the 2 arrows burned to ash. Thankfully, the other 3 arrows struck home. One arrow caught the goblin mage in the shoulder, and a second struck him in the side. The Ricker went down with a curse. Even as he fell, the caster's hand moved as he started to cast a spell. The 3rd arrow caught one of the warriors in the thigh, but if it bothered the goblin grinder, there was no outward sign. Both grinders turned towards the archers and held their rectangular shields up to protect both themselves and the mage. The opening salvo of this battle wasn't done, though. Richter had decided that desperate times called for desperate measures. As soon as he had ordered the attack, red light had begun to surround his hands as he dual cast a new spell. The arcane words grew thicker in his mouth, and he struggled to finish the incantation. The spell was of a higher level than he had ever cast before, let alone dual cast. Richter didn't stop. This had to happen. The goblin warriors had already positioned their shields, which would have stopped much of the destructive power of his spell, but they made a mistake common in a world without gods. They didn't look up. Alma's small body descended almost straight down, and with a savage cry, she unleashed the most concentrated beam of her psi-blast. The warriors cried out and fell to their knees, and the Ricker broke off his incantation. Richter forced the last syrupy words out of his mouth.
Igna Prati!
The spell shot forward. A melon-sized ball of orange and yellow flame shot from his hands and sailed unerringly towards the witch doctor. From the perspective of one of the goblin scouts, the human had thrown a ball of fire that grew bigger by the moment until it was 2 feet across. Then the human's spell struck, and fire rolled over its green skin. Chapter 48, Day 140, Kuborn 30, 15,368, EBG. Sion was right. Casting weak fireball in a forest was absolutely irresponsible, but Richter knew that the force they were facing could very well wipe out his entire war party, and he had to take the chance. When he had initially seen the size of the fire that he shot, Richter had been underwhelmed. When it expanded to the size of a beach ball right before impact, though, somehow he felt a lot better. The spell struck 1 second after Alma had unleashed her psi-blast. The fireball flew between the slumped shields of the warriors and impacted against the witch doctor. It immediately detonated, and flames spread out from that point. The extra 10% spell strength that came from Richter's initiate rank in fire magic and his Dragonkin 1 mark told in the damage that was done. The fire washed over the grinders and 10 other goblins that were unlucky enough to be within the spell's area of effect. 4 more were knocked down by the force of the explosion. Richter started rejoicing, until the afterimage of the flames disappeared and he saw a half-dome of energy covering the witch doctor. It dissolved into yet another spirit swirling around the goblin as he stood. The Ricker extended a hand and shouted a word of power. A black stream of energy shot forward and struck 2 of the Maedon sprites, flinging them backward. Richter looked behind him and saw 2 steaming marks on their armor. The unaffected scouts and goblins continued to run toward his position, now only 30 yards away. The Chaos Seed heard his people coming up from behind him and to the left, but his archers needed more time.
"Kill the caster!"
he shouted, then drew both short swords and with his saproling at his side, ran forward to meet the horde. His head ached from the large expenditure of magic. At level 9, his dual casting skill increased the cost of any spell by 182%. It meant that in one go, he'd expended 202 mana, more than a third of his total mana pool. He didn't let it distract him, though. The saproling outpaced him and barreled into a knot of goblins. Several went down by its push, and then its momentum slowed. It gored one scout, but others started hacking into its body. Richter couldn't be concerned with the fate of his summoned creature. He had his own fighting to do. The Chaos Seed ran at a screaming green goblin. While he closed with the slavering enemy, time seemed to slow. He felt his mind descend into a place he had been avoiding, the uncontrolled id that came from his use of blood magic. This time he didn't fight it. Richter unshackled his base self and opened the gates of the emotional bulwarks he and Alma had been building up. A red haze came over his vision, and a bestial yell clawed itself from his throat as he swung his short sword with an overhand chop. His left sword swung down at a scout who was lunging forward with a pitted iron dagger. The green elementum blade snapped the dagger with a loud ping and continued downward to cut through the 3.5-foot-tall man's sickly green body. Green blood sprayed over Richter's armored chest and his face. It tasted like iron and vomit. The Chaos Seed wasted no time on reflection. He was already stepping past the dead goblin. His other hand snapped up, the blade parallel to the earth in a new sword form Yoshi had taught him, called Cliff of Stone. Richter's sword intercepted the wooden haft of the steel axe that a goblin fighter had swung down at him. The sword pulsed, and the power of his sonic elementum shortsword was unleashed. The axe flew out of the hands of the surprised goblin. Richter bared his teeth in what only a jackal might recognize as a grin, and he stabbed upward with his other blade. The sword entered the goblin's stomach and plunged upward. The tip of the weapon pierced the fighter's heart, turning a traumatic blow into an instantly fatal strike. Richter's second victim still had a surprised look on his face as he fell to the ground, lifeless. A constant barrage of imbued strikes peppered the professionals, but the warriors had gotten their high steel banded shields up and were able to weather the shots. The sprites had spread out to strike from multiple angles, but wherever an arrow came close to hitting the witch doctor, another spirit materialized to destroy it. In the meantime, the mage finished a second casting. Black tendrils appeared around one of the sprites and wrapped around her body. From the woman's anguished screams, the pain was horrible. The mage continued to hold one fist upright, and a black nimbus surrounded it. The goblin fed magic into the spell, draining away the sprite's life. Thankfully, two things happened. Alma fired a bolt of lightning in the caster's back, disrupting the spell, and the guardsmen arrived. Calder and the other fighters attacked the mass of scouts and fighters in the side, and the three life magi Richter had brought from the village ran to heal the fallen sprites. Calder ran into the middle of the fray and bellowed. He swung his steel war door to hit one of the goblin scouts with a new shield subskill, Bash. The small being went flying backward like it had been kicked by a giant. The sergeant then swung his new weapon at a second goblin. It had taken 2 days to forge and several valuable soul stones, but Crom and Richter had been able to create Calder's quicksilver spiked mace of goblin slaying. The weapon almost leaped into the goblin's face. The mighty blow somehow turned the goblin fighter's face into a meaty green ruin, but still left enough intact for it to scream as it fell down. The sound was somewhat bubbly, but there was no doubt as to the goblin's agony while he vainly searched for his own nose, eyes, and lips. The sergeant fit his skilled position of tank perfectly. He screamed defiance, and every enemy within 20 yards felt an irrational need to attack him and ignore everyone else. It was not as powerful as a true warrior's taunt talent, but it still gave everyone else some respite. The goblin fighter that Richter was facing learned that attention was vital in a battle when the Chaos Seed's Elementum shortsword swung through his neck and sent his green head flying. The five guards crashed against more than 20 goblin scouts and fighters. They stood alone. Richter's sapling had already been torn apart. The forest creature had served a purpose in that it had gained Richter precious seconds of respite at the beginning of the battle, but it had been no match for the fury of dozens of goblins. Despite being outnumbered, the battle was far from decided. Both sides had advantages. The guards had increased reach, higher quality weapons, and the fact that they fought side by side in formation with shields. They were a far cry from a Roman legion, but they still fought together. The advantages of the goblins were their numbers, savagery, and fear of their leader. They knew that a fate worse than death awaited them if they did not fight as hard as they could for the witch doctor. More than anything else, however, it was Richter's profession that made a difference. Every weapon and shield that a member of his war party used was enchanted. Freeze, sonic damage, life damage, or goblin slaying were instilled into every mace and longsword. Every shield was enchanted with simple defensive bonuses, and most were at least +2 or +3. Richter had wanted to give them stronger effects, but he had become much more familiar with the capacity of various metals to handle enchantments over the past few weeks. After a negative experience with an exploding high steel dagger, the Chaos Seed had started paying more attention to the feeling of pressure that appeared whenever he transferred the power of filled soul stones into arms and armor. Glorin had elaborated on what Crom had mentioned about different metals having varying capacities to handle soul power. Not only did metals have different capacities, but they also had different resistances to accepting soul power. The elf had said that most materials resisted being enchanted. The rising pressure that Richter felt was actually the soul power building in the air until it entered the item. If the will of the enchanter could not overcome the resistance of whatever he was working on, then the enchantment would fail, sometimes explosively. Glorin had been amazed when he examined Richter's sword. The elf had cast a spell that allowed him to assess the properties of various materials, among them enchantment potential. Elementum was apparently a substance that almost welcomed enchantments. The elf had cautioned Richter against trying to channel so much soul power through less friendly mediums. The Chaos Seed had taken the warning